Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Raymond Realty Limited Q4 FY 2026 and FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and you will have an opportunity to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijeet Kundu from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, I would like to welcome all the participants in the Q4 FY 2026 and FY 2026 conference call of Raymond Realty Limited. Today we have with us from senior management of Raymond Realty, Mr. Rakesh Tiwari, Group CFO, Mr. Hari Mohan Sahni, MD and CEO, Mr. Ankur Jindal, CFO, and Mr. Sunny Desa, Head Investor Relations. Without taking further time, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Hari Mohan Sahni. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. First of all, good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this call for Raymond Realty Limited's performance for Q4 and for the entire year FY 2026. Before we dive into our specific numbers for the company, I think it is important to look at the broader environment in which we operate. Indian macroeconomic story in FY 2026 remained resilient, and the GDP growth is estimated to be 7.4% as per the government numbers, which have been already published at many places. We obviously remain one of the fastest-growing major economies in the world today. There is clearly a double engine which is firing now. Public investment led the way, and now private investment is also coming in, and consumption has always been the story in India. For our industry also, in this background, it has translated into a historic surge as far as the momentum of sales and demand is concerned. We have seen record-breaking capital deployment as significant amounts of equity has flown into the sector and jumped. This equity, which came from external sector, is almost 88%, close to $30.7 billion over the last approximate two-year period since 2024 to Q1 of 2026. MMR is the market in which Raymond Realty operates in a major way, and the demand has stayed steady in this market. It's primarily actual user-driven, and buyers are prioritizing functionality, connectivity, and most importantly, reliability in terms of choosing the developers that they want to buy from. Brand plays a very big role, and that's where consolidation theme keeps on becoming stronger and stronger with every passing quarter. Now, if we look at our numbers, given this context that we have, the word actually which comes to my mind immediately upon looking at the FY 2026 numbers is validation. Whatever we had planned for, we feel validated on all of those numbers. We've seen 139% year-on-year surge in quarterly bookings, which is an extraordinary achievement, which we believe, given that the market which is there. It is also a deliberate result of multi-year strategic roadmap which we had laid down when we started this business. We also entered this year with a clear plan, which was quarter-on-quarter, and we executed it to perfection in that sense, despite several hiccups on regulatory front and many hurdles came our way, but we were able to execute quite diligently. Looking at our financial highlights, our total income for FY 2026 stood at 3,039 crores, which is a 29% growth over the previous year. For the quarter, which is quarter four, income surged 53% to 1,176 crores. What is really important here, our apart from the top-line growth is the quality of our earnings. Our EBITDA for the year rose to 495 crores. While we were scaling rapidly, we also maintained a resilient EBITDA margin profile of 21.5% in Q4. We have achieved this by capturing the economies of scale that we have built with the new launches and our distributed operation within our portfolio and optimizing our product mix to the maximum. Even on the liquidity front, we remain quite exceptionally well-poised. We concluded the year with a net debt of 656 crores. Our debt equity on gross basis stands at 0.6, which is comfortably below our internal ceiling of  1:1 debt to equity. So we are very comfortable there. And our liquidity buffer was 350 crores at the end of the year, which makes us fully funded as far as next year is concerned in terms of whatever money we need. Between debt and our liquidity buffer, we are well-poised to meet all our requirements. Actually, the most strategic milestone that, if I was to mention for the last year, was a structural shift that we saw in our portfolio mix. We had previously set a target and communicated to the markets also that there will be a 50/50 mix between our own land in Thane and the new JDAs that we have signed by the financial year 2027. But very happy to report that we have achieved this milestone 1 year ahead of schedule in FY26 itself. Now, if I was to just look at FY25 numbers, the share of JDAs was 22% in booking values. And FY26 share of pre-sales bookings, which is there from non-Thane land, which is outside of our legacy land, was 54%. I think that has been a significant achievement for FY26 for us. And this has been done in an asset-light model, which is something we've been following from day one, and we've stayed consistent with that model. And it has allowed us to penetrate prime MMR micro markets like Bandra, BKC, Wadala, Sion. And we have done this without being very capital-intensive in terms of land acquisition. So our JDA portfolio now comprises of seven projects with a combined revenue potential of approximately 17,000 crores based on current prices. This also includes our most recent addition in Kandivali, which was added in FY26. Our execution engine also has been firing on all cylinders across entire MMR wherever we have taken on projects. If we look at in Thane, where we have a 100-acre land parcel, and it has been a massive value creator for us with a total revenue potential of 25,000 crores on that entire land. Currently, about 60 acres of that land is under development at different stages. And also during the year, our aspirational brand, the first project we had launched in the company, 10X Habitat, which was a large project with 3,100-odd homes, is fully sold out and also received complete OC for the project. So this is a major milestone for a very large development that we would have delivered fully in the market, and not just the buildings, but everything, and we will be moving out of this project. Next would be other deliveries which will happen in the current year. Now, Q4 for us was exceptional because it was defined by strategic blitz of major launches that we did. The projects we launched during this period were Address by GS Wadala, Address by GS Sion, and both these projects put together released a combined GDV of almost 6,400 crores in the market for us. Apart from this, we launched two projects in Thane as well, 10X District 9 and Park Street. Park Street is a retail development. It's a small development, but it's value accretive for us. And as part of our strategy, every year we do a certain amount of retail, and we have consistently done that for the last 3-4 years, and going forward also, it is part of our strategy that some element of retail will be launched throughout. So with that, you know, I would say that I kind of encapsulate what we did in FY26, but we are not slowing down. Over the next 12 to 15 months, we are on track to launch 2 more projects, which are both in Mahim, and they are at very advanced stages in terms of approvals. So they will definitely get launched by Q3. Both these projects should be in the market, and which will be followed by the Kandivali development, which will spill over to not FY27, but will be going into FY28. So FY26 really proved that, you know, Raymond Realty could scale with speed and sophistication. And a testimony of this is also, if you look at the numbers, our 6-year CAGR since 2021, that is when we gained some kind of size in terms of booking value. Pre-sales has been a 50% CAGR we have achieved over the 6-year period. And in terms of reported revenue in P&L, the CAGR has been 84%, which is very heartening for us, and it is essentially looking at the go beyond philosophy which we have for the brand. A commitment to beauty, discipline and excellence has been underlined by these numbers. So we've built a focused pure play branded real estate development brand with a gross development value of approximately 42,000 crores. We have our legacy land in Thane, which a large portion of that is left out. JDA pipeline is very strong in terms of what has been launched and also in terms of what is looking at being contracted going forward, new projects. We have done all this with a tremendous financial discipline in terms of our debt equity remaining within control, our cash flows remaining strong, and most importantly, we've gained the trust of our customers. Clearly, all the success that we have achieved is because of our projects being well received in the market and giving us strong pre-sales at the time of launch itself. So going forward, our focus remains on driving sustainable growth and delivering consistent long-term value to our shareholders. We initially told the markets that we would grow over the years, and we have delivered as per plan, year upon year, consistently. And whatever promises we have made year on year, we have not faltered on any of those promises. And with that, thank you very much. My opening remarks are over, and I will now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Yashas Paramesh from G7 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Harmon. Hi, to the entire management team. First of all, congratulations on the splendid quarter and, you know, really wonderful results you've provided the whole year. I have a bit of a basic question. It's just on the trying to understand how the collections work. So let's say Q4 FY26, we were to sell, 100 rupees of flats, or that would be a pre-sales booking amount. How would that cash ultimately flow to us over how many quarters or over how many years?
Yeah. So, there is no standard answer to that. It depends from project to project.
On a weighted average.
Yeah. So, to give you an example, I think that's the best way to do it. So we've launched, let's say, the project in Sion, which is to be delivered in 4 to 4.5 years' time. So whatever we have sold will get collected over a 4-year period. And a large part of that is linked with the superstructure getting completed. So in 3 years' time, almost 80% of that cash flow comes to us, and for the last year, roughly about 20%. And similarly, if it's a 5-year project, then the period will get extended by maybe 6 more months or 9 more months. So that's how really it, that's the cycle, how it operates.
Understood. So the payment terms are usually kind of linked to where the project is based on the structure and the number of slabs put up, right?
That's right. They're all construction-linked payment plans.
Okay, understood. So they'll obviously differ from project to project.
That's right. But they're pretty standard in that sense. I mean, if it's a if it's a 20-story building, then by the time you get to 20th story, you would have collected almost 80% of the collection. If it's a 40-story tower, you would have collected 80%.
Okay. No, the reason I ask is, Raymond builds, puts up floors much faster than anyone else, so I can't go with this standard assumption.
That's very kind of you to say, but
Yeah, so that was the first question. And then the second question is, and I ask this because, actually, I think I'll keep that question aside, but I just wanted to express my gratitude for, all the transparency and, walking the walk. And yeah, happy to be here, happy to keep, holding shares. And yeah, thank you so much and all the best. Looking forward to a great FY27.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the kind words.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Ujjwal Lal, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Ujjwal, your line
Hello?
Is unmuted.
Yes, I'm audible. Yes, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the great execution. So my first question is, for the last couple of years, the pre-sales in Thane have been falling. It was around 1,950 crores for FY24, then 1,800 crores in FY25, then we have done only 1,360 crores in FY26 in Thane. So are we facing increased competition or just overall market absorption has slowed down over there?
See, the Thane sales is dependent on what is the product we have in the market for that particular year. So we have a mix of products in Thane. We have 2 BHK inventory, we have 3 BHK inventory, and then we have some retail inventory as well. And of course, our highest brand, Invictus, also has some element of inventory there. But the large portion is 2 BHK and 3 BHK inventory, which are TenX brand and addressed by GS. Now, each year we had a different product mix which we could offer in the market because, getting approvals and launching projects is a cycle in itself. But having said that, the straight answer to your question is that in Thane, competition has been intense for the last 20 years. Even when we were not present in this market, we started 6-7 years, but Thane has been an intensely competitive market. And that's why most people in Thane don't have pricing power like some of the other markets. Developers get pricing power after first year, of launching of the project. But Thane has remained more or less very marginal increase in prices over the years, and it's primarily because of competition. So competition, yes, is there, but it's always been there. So year on year, you may not see growth because there is a limitation to how much you can grow in one micro market in one location, unless you are getting price growth. See, the growth can only come either through volume growth or price growth. So if price is not growing, then volume is the only way you can grow. and there's a limitation to how much volume can grow in one micro market in one location. So that's the scenario which is getting played out in Thane. So there is no challenge we are facing, but year on year, depending on the mix, on an average, if you see, we would have sold last 4-5 years on an average between 1300 to 1500 crores each year. That's been our average. And that average will not change significantly going forward also. So 1300 se 1500 ke beech mein I think is a achievable number for, because we have a very strong location, one of the best locations in Thane that we have. And yeah, so consumer prefers that, and like I said, pricing still remains attractive in terms of affordability for consumer. So that's really how it plays out. So there is no cause for concern, nothing that worries us that something is dropping in terms of sales or it's becoming difficult. None of that is there.
Okay, thank you for the detailed answer. And also, like, can you explain the difference across our JDAs that creates that huge range in the time that we take to bring it to market? Because like some few months we are able to turn around very quickly, and some like Mahim, which we signed in calendar year 23, we are yet to launch them. So what creates this huge variance?
Yeah, so each deal is unique in terms of A, maturity level, B, also depends on counterparties, how quickly they move, since, you know, JDA is joint development agreement. So the joint word is very important, the first word. So we are also dependent on timelines for some of our partners and counterparties which are there, part of it. So some are at advanced stage, they move faster. To give you an example, the BKC project that we did, there the society actually had done a deal with somebody else and they were waiting for 7 years, and during that 7 years they had done so much of work that when we came on the scene, it took us only nine months approximately to finish everything, because the society was ready to such a level. And compared to that, when I look at Mahim, it was such a disparate group which was there. A lot of senior citizens were involved in that, and managing committee also had issues with some of the residents over there, which took time to resolve between themselves. And they had done no work. They had just, you know, got the idea and they had floated the tender for the first time. And there, it has taken us almost 2.5 years. So somewhere the average for a project is about 15 months to 18 months. Some may take 2.5 years, some may happen in 9-10 months, and in fact the Wadala project we were able to launch within 6-7 months of signing, because it was a very mature project and a lot of approvals were already in place. So most of these deals, you know, are opportunistic. They don't come at the same stage of completion to us. So it all depends on that.
Okay. And are we also planning to launch a mixed development having commercial and office space of over 1 million square feet in Thane? Like, we have seen some layout plans over social media. Just if you can clarify or announce this.
See, as of now, we have not announced any commercial development in Thane. But we have an area which is master planned and earmarked for commercial development. And that's not a new development. It's been originally like this for the last 7-8 years. We will activate it at the right time. That time doesn't seem to be very far, but as of now, we haven't pressed the button.
Okay, and lastly, how is the JDA pipeline looking like? Because like last year, we had guided for 5,000 to 10,000 addition of new GDV. We did 3,000, but like, are the redevelopment markets getting overheated, because of which we are not building, or like how will new business development look going forward?
No, see, business development has been pretty strong. We have evaluated a lot of projects, and you are right to an extent that there are some parts of the market which are overheated, and we have to be cautious in and disciplined in the deals that we take. So, and we have followed the extreme form of discipline. We had quite a few deals in the pipeline, which currently are undergoing different stages of negotiation and documentation. So some of those deals have spilled over into this year, FY27. And you would certainly hear from us more and more deals. The pipeline is pretty strong.
Okay, if I may squeeze the last one. So I was just seeing the numbers for Bandra's first JDA. We had originally guided for a 2,000 crore plus revenue. But do you think, given the current market scenario, we can exceed that number significantly?
So we had guided about, I think, 2,100 or so, if I'm not mistaken, right in the beginning for the first one, the address by GS in Bandra. So we will definitely do better than that on the top line.
Thank you. Thank you and all the best. Congratulations for great execution.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations on a really great set of numbers, sir. Hopefully I'm audible. Hello?
Yes, Darshil, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just one question regarding our margins. So how should we look at our EBITDA margins or PAT margins, that you would say? Because just want to understand, like, in FY26, we had a higher revenue but a lower PAT. So just wanted to understand how would that PAT margin mean. So just want to understand that, like, how do we are looking at PAT margin, sir? PAT or EBITDA, whatever you would be comfortable, sir.
Yeah, so see, if you look at the EBITDA margin that we have reported for FY26, it's around 16% is what we have reported on a blended basis. And we've improved that number from the first 9 months cumulative that we had reported, which was around 13%. And the improvement has happened to 16%. Now, what really happens is it's a cycle for all of these projects. Now, when we launch a project, at that time the EBITDA margin for a project is pretty low. But when we contract a deal, we don't look at anything less than 20% margin. We don't sign any JDA which will give us less than 20% EBITDA margin. But it may start off in single digits when we launch the project for the first 6 months. And then it creeps up, and towards the end it gives a higher, but on a blended basis it gives us 20%. So the blended margin for the company will depend on how many project launches have happened recently and how many mature projects are there in the mix. So it will be in a range. It will never be a specific point, or you will not be able to plot and say, oh, it will keep growing, and one day it will hit 100%. That's never going to happen. Because anything which keeps growing will eventually hit 100%. On a lighter note, I'm saying that.
No. Fair enough, sir. I understand that.
What really happens is, so, I mean, to answer your question squarely, I mean, our target is to hit a 20% EBITDA margin as quickly as we can. And that will happen, let's say, if I have 10 projects and out of that I have 7 projects or 6 projects which are mature, and I am introducing 2-3 new projects on an ongoing basis every time, we will be easily able to hit that margin profile. And we have been anyway on an upward trajectory, 16% to IA, and all these projects we have launched in Q4 will mature over the next 12 months. So FY27 looks good, and FY28 looks even better.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Just wanted to understand, so when we have a lot of JDAs, so right now I think in FY27 we are planning 2 JDAs, right? So just when we start launching them, so quarterly the blips can come because that new launches happen, so EBITDA blip income. But overall, for the full year, we can expect like the margin trajectory to go up. Is that like the correct understanding?
Yeah, FY 2027, my suggestion would be to assume a flat to marginally upward trajectory, like we've delivered 16%. So, I mean, my suggestion or guidance would be to assume between 16% and 18% as the EBITDA margin on a blended basis for FY 2027.
Oh, okay. Fair enough, sir. And so just in terms of revenue recognition, sir, what is the policy that we follow? So will it be like as the project completes, we, you know, book a bulk of revenue, or is it project completion basis? Because the quarter-on-quarter revenue will be quite fluctuating, right? Or how should we look at the revenue, sir?
Our revenue does not fluctuate simply because we have consistently followed percentage completion method for profit booking for all of our projects right from inception. And that's why you would see consistency, and it's a true and fair view of the business in that sense, because as the progress is going and based on how much sales have happened, the revenue gets recognized. So you will not see lumpiness in our reporting, which is the case with some of the other players, because a lot of them follow completed contract method. So every time a project completes, suddenly a lumpy amount comes, and then next quarter it falls. For us, that will not be the case, and the reason for that is the method of accounting that we follow is percentage completion.
Okay. So, just to understand, if we follow percentage of completion, so then ideally, just so the Q4 revenue run rate can be maintained, because as we, you know, complete more, like, the revenue will be coming in orderly manner, right? So in terms of our revenue, we could have, like, the Q4 run rate. I'm just asking for an average, not like an exact number, sir, but that run rate would be the range of, right, what we would be doing, because that's how our quarterly, you know, we've been just growing revenue with more and more launches coming. Our revenue will keep on increasing when we follow percentage of completion. Is that fair to understand?
Yes and no, but the fair way to look at this would be what was the last year's total number and what will be the growth on an annual basis? Because this is also a seasonal business, we have to be mindful of that. Because each quarter is not exactly the same as the other quarter. Q1 and Q2 are usually light, and Q3 and Q4 are slightly better, because around Q3, you have the festive season, and Q4, all the other pushes are there, and weather is better. And Q2, you have the monsoon in Bombay, and Q1, all the exams, and also the inauspicious period plays a role. It's a large ticket purchase. So because of that, the right way to look at it is last year's sales and assume what will be the increase going forward. And we've always given a guidance that you can expect a minimum 20% growth from us on the pre-sales number and on the top line as well. And for FY 2027, we will definitely do better than that, is all I can tell you just now.
Okay, fair enough, sir. And just last question from my end, sir. Like, in terms of business development, so we have, you know, gone for a lot of micro markets, like, are we looking anything in, you know, South Bombay in terms of redevelopment or something? Like, is that, like, a place where, you know, we are looking at, or what other micro market are we targeting, sir?
South Bombay, we are very cautious because we have a certain view on this market, and we will only be present in South Bombay market if it makes sense to us in terms of deal structure and the returns that we will get. And the other micro markets we are looking at is the western suburbs and eastern suburbs. Primarily, western suburbs is where we are focusing a lot. And currently, we've got a lot of projects around BKC, and that remains our focus area, because that's a very strong employment hub, heart of the city. And if we can give products which are affordable luxury, we believe that there will always be demand for that, irrespective of the market cycle also.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. That's it from my side. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ishita Lodha from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a strong quarter. The first question is, what is our effective economic interest in the Kandivali project?
Sir, you're on mute.
Yeah. Ankur, you want to take that?
Hello.
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Yeah. Can you repeat the question?
What is our effective economic interest in Kandivali project?
Yeah. So the gross GDV is 3,000 crores for our Kandivali project. And at the same time, we are looking for a margin of around the same what we have guided, around 20%-22%.
Ankur, she's asking what is your revenue share?
Yeah. Revenue share is 70% for Raymond. For us, it's 70%.
Okay. And how is the sales response for Pokhran Road project and Sion project been in FY27 so far?
So I'll take that, Ankur. So see, the Pokhran Road is the entire 100-acre land in Thane. We've sold close to 1,400 crores as pre-sales during the year. So it's been pretty strong and very good and consistent with the earlier years. As far as the Sion project is concerned, Sion was launched only in the month of February. And we have seen a very, very strong response on that. I mean, even in a short period of time, while we had only a few days to capitalize, we've seen a good response. And it's a very insular micro-market, Sion. There is very little migration which happens in Sion, so people within Sion only buy Sion. But it's a strong micro-market. And the actual numbers are there in our investor presentation. You can look at the actual numbers. The details are given in terms of units, square footage, value. You will find that in the investor deck.
Yeah. Okay. Because it was showing only 4% of the value launch sold in Sion, that's why I was asking.
So.
Maybe because it's in the later.
So what is the concern with that? You have to start somewhere.
No, no.
When you start selling, you start at 1%, go to 2, 3, 4. That's how you will sell. Because only a few days we had, it's not as though we launched and we had 1 year to sell.
Right. Okay. And.
So we have launched on 24th of March.
24th of March. Sorry, my mistake. We only had 1 week.
Okay. Perfect. Understood. Also, to get 1,300 crores-1,500 crores of annual pre-sales in Thane, how much GDV do we have to launch every year?
We already have enough GDV which will serve us for the next 6 months. And we have two more launches which are planned in Thane. And they will happen during the year. But as of now, we have enough inventory. I mean, we are not worried on the inventory front. Actually, last year, we had a situation where in Q1 and Q2, we were very low on inventory. And that was the situation we were facing. But we no longer have that situation. We've already launched enough in H2.
Okay. All right. And do we have faced any impact on the construction cost due to the commodity price escalation because of the war? Significant that can result in EBITDA margin?
So construction cost impact will actually play out over the longer period of time. But we've done some scenario building, and we are expecting about 3%-4% impact on costs if this goes on for a long period of time. If it dies out in the next 2 months or 3 months, you will not even see that kind of impact. But the absorption capacity for that cost increase is there in the market, and we will pass it on. I I don't foresee any impact on EBITDA margins because of this.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rishabh Kothari from Ashish Shah Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations, sir, for posting good set of results. My question is to the head of investor relations, Sunny Desa. Sir, my question is, despite the strong execution, scaling JDA portfolio and healthy growth visibility, the company is still trading at relatively lower valuation, sir. Do you think the company can be more proactive in engaging with the domestic institutions, mutual funds and investor conferences to improve the visibility and let's say communicate to Raymond, to the investors, the Raymond Realty story better to the broader market, sir? Over to you.
So, hi, yeah, thanks for your question. I think when it comes to investor relations and engagement with various stakeholders, whether it is the sell-side analyst community or the institutional investors, there has been adequate, interaction and engagement that has been happening right from July 1st, the day when we got listed, till date. You are right that overall the market cap and the performance of the stock has not been great. However, our endeavor is to focus on the business and ensure that the narrative has been shared with all stakeholders at all times in the most transparent manner. And that's exactly what we've been doing. And our belief is that as long as the business continues to walk the talk and perform with the numbers that we are, eventually we will not be ignored by the markets.
You know, it's a journey always, and it's never a point in time. We got separately listed somewhere in July, and we have not even completed 12 months after that. And you've seen the result of posting our Q4 numbers. So I guess market is also waiting to see, you know, quarter on quarter in terms of consistency for 6-8 quarters, they'll watch us. Char quarter to nikal hi gaye hain. I think one or two quarters more, and you saw today what happened to the market after they saw the results. So I guess
that faith will
come with consistency. And like I said, it's always a journey. And I mean, we as management are very patient about it. So we would request if you could share some of our patience.
Fair enough, sir. And thank you. And sir, my next question is, as per the presentation, sir, the company has around 4,000 crores of pending collections from sold inventory, while financial year 26 operating cash flow has been negative due to growth investments and approvals. So going forward, should we expect operating cash flows to turn positive in financial year 27 as collections accelerate, or will negative cash flows continue for some time because of the ongoing expansion phase?
So let's look at it this way. That Thane, which is my own land, releases about 450 to 500 crores of cash for me every year. So that's the internal accruals which I get from Thane straight away. Now the JDAs which we had launched in FY25, they also will start throwing out some amount of cash, let's say 100-150. So roughly about 600 crores, you can say, is 600-650 is internal accruals that we get, which we generate. And then in terms of investment into new deals, last year we had to launch a lot of projects, and that's why we had to invest in the approval costs and all, because we are not buying land, so that's one straight saving grace that we have. So we are not capital intensive in that extent. But approval costs are pretty substantial, which go to the government, and only then we are able to launch these projects. So the short answer to your question is, going forward cash for the next 2 years, we will be cash negative on an overall basis, but internal accruals will keep on growing, and we will keep reinvesting them in building the balance sheet and growing our portfolio. because growth has a price to be paid, and cash flow is that price you have to pay. But you get it back in terms of P&L and growth of the balance sheet.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So, got it. Thank you. Okay, sir. So, thank you, and all the best for the next quarter. Looking forward to have the next call with you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tejas Khandelwal from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations for the great set of numbers. So sir, we have been tracking some recent reports around ceramic plant shutdowns in Morbi because of gas supply constraint. So is it creating any meaningful supply side disruption for our business?
The short answer is no. We have suppliers who are continuing to supply to us at the contracted rates that we have, and like I answered in the earlier one, only if this continues for a substantial period of time, I think there will be some sustainable impact on costs. But if it gets over in the next 2-3 months, I don't think there will be anything significant which will impact our EBITDA margins.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, any guidance on the borrowing side, if you can give for FY27?
So we ended the last year, which was FY26, at 0.6 debt to EBITDA, and we have internally kept a discipline that we will not exceed 1:1 debt to equity, and we have communicated that to the markets as well. So whatever we do, we will stay within that.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you. That's all from us.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Randhir Singh from Randhir HUF. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Hello.
Yes, Randhir. Please go ahead. We can hear you.
Please go ahead.
Sir, पहले जो participant आए हैं उसमें से कुछ miss किया है तो मैं थोड़ा सा क्लियर होना चाहता हूँ मार्जिन फ्रंट पे कि जो हमारा EBITDA मार्जिन अभी Q4 का 20% के आसपास है तो ये FY27 के लिए इसको मतलब कि मेंटेन रखना चाहते हैं या फिर यहाँ से इम्प्रूव होने का कुछ चांसेस है?
रंजीत जी, ये मैंने इसका जवाब पहले भी दिया था तो मैं अभी इसको रिपीट करता हूँ और मेरे को भी हिंदी बोलने का थोड़ा मौका मिलेगा अभी तो अच्छा है. वैसे मैं हिंदी भाषी ही हूँ बट बहुत समय से हिंदी में बात करी नहीं है. तो आप जो मार्जिन की बात कर रहे हैं उसका हमने गाइडेंस ये दिया था कि पहले 9 महीने में हमारी जो एवरेज मार्जिन थी वो 13% थी अभी और लास्ट क्वार्टर में 21% हुई. तो पूरे साल का मिला के अगर आप देखें तो 16% के आसपास हमने मार्जिन की डिलीवरी करी है. तो आप को पूरे साल का ब्लेंडेड मार्जिन 16% लेना पड़ेगा और अगले साल के लिए हमारी गाइडेंस ये है कि 16-18% के बीच में हमारा मार्जिन रहेगा, वो एक रेंज बाउंड रहेगा.
हाँ जी सर, ये Q3 का कॉन कॉल मैंने पढ़ा तो उसमें कुछ थोड़ा हमको समझना है सर कि उसमें रेवेन्यू पोटेंशियल बताए थे आप 40,000 करोड़ के आसपास किसी प्रोजेक्ट में, उसको थोड़ा सा समझा सकते हैं?
हाँ जी, हमारा टोटल जो ग्रॉस डेवलपमेंट वैल्यू है वो अप्रोक्सीमेटली 43,000 करोड़ के आसपास है और उसमें 25,000 करोड़ जो है वो थाना का है और उसमें से कुछ लॉन्च हो चुका है और कुछ लॉन्च होना है. एक्चुअली हमने जो इन्वेस्टर प्रेजेंटेशन अपलोड करी है उसके अंदर फुल ब्रेकअप पूरी डिटेल में दिया हुआ है कि 25,000 करोड़ में से कितना लॉन्च हो गया है, कितना बिक गया है, कितना बिकना बाकी है, उसके सामने हमने कितनी कलेक्शन करी हुई है, वो सब डिटेल में लिखित रूप में आपको उसमें प्रेजेंटेशन में मिलेगा. अगर आपको उसमें कुछ कठिनाई होती है तो हमको बोलिए, हम आपको डायरेक्टली ईमेल भी कर सकते हैं.
थैंक यू.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mehul Panjwani from 40 Cents. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you so much for the opportunity. I am new to tracking real estate sector. So I just want to understand, how do we arrive at the gross development value? That is my first question.
So gross development value is nothing but an estimate of the total area that you will generate for sale and multiply that with the current rate prevailing in the market, and that multiplication just gives you the gross development value.
Right. So so as and when we buy new land and, you know, we have more visibility, the GDV keeps changing, is it?
That's right.
Okay. And like how you very transparently quoted that this is our GDV. So do all real estate companies have this visibility that how much they have GDV? I mean, do they communicate? I mean, listed players?
All the good ones will disclose this.
Right. Thank you, sir. And second question, sir, because we have operated in a very specific market, which is Thane. So who are the top three competitors in the Thane market?
So Thane is one of the markets I operate in. Thane is now about 45% of the market that I operate in. 55% I operate in other markets. But specific to Thane, if I was to answer your question, all the big players are in Thane. You can imagine any big name, all of them are there. Lodha is there, Adani is there, Oberoi is there, Kalpatru is there, Piramal is there, and some of the local players are also there. The entire universe of it's a very large market, very deep market, very robust market. Largely investor is absent from this market, and it's purely almost to the extent of 90-95% actual user driven. A lot of people take loans, almost 80-85% people take, so salaried people will be there, and all the local businessmen who, you know, really have factories in Bhiwandi and all, and Kalyan, are also living in Thane because it offers that kind of living experience. So competition ki koi kami nahi hai. There is enough and more competition in Thane.
Right, sir. Sir, aur ek question iske regarding puchna chahunga. So because, you know, I am not very familiar with Thane. So is Thane as big a real estate market as the rest of Mumbai, or how big would be Thane, or how small would be Thane compared to the rest of Mumbai?
So within Thane also there are several micro markets. Thane actually is a district.
Right.
And it's pretty large. Almost 40% of MMR region's volume happens in Thane district. But Thane district will be a little misleading to talk about when we talk about our property, because our property is in a specific micro market which is between Pokhran Road number 1 and Pokhran Road number 2, which is one of the prime localities of Thane, and they are at the highest price point in that entire district, because Thane market ranges somewhere between 7,000 rupees a square foot and goes all the way up to 24,000-25,000 rupees a square foot. So we are in the market where 23,000 to 25,000 rupees a square foot is the range.
Right. So is this Pokhran 1 to Pokhran 2 is specific because we, Raymond, have their manufacturing sites out there, or we have bought additional land?
So this is our legacy land. I mean, 50-60 years ago the factory was set up there, and then the factory shifted from there about 12-15 years ago, and since then this land has been available for use as a asset. And about 6 to 7 years ago we started real estate business as an experiment on that land, and then we expanded from there.
Right, sir. Thank you so much for the elaborate answering. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Harmohan Sahani for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, everybody, for being on the call and being patient with us over the last 2 years, and especially since July, since we've got separate listing. Really appreciate your patience. So, and hope to see you in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.